Welcome to the Creepshow Hour, where we take in-depth looks at the new episodes of Creepshow on Shudder. Beware, though, spoilers might be around.
Hey!
Right out of the gate.
Oh my god, I was trying to intro. Jeez. What the hell was that?
What's up?
Been bothering me for over a year now. Is it will spoilers be a found or spoilers will be abound?
I think it was supposed to be abound. I made it all up on one on the fly and I did it once. All right.
Maybe I should just do my hostile takeover about Oliver and company.
JD, you haven't been introduced yet. Damn it!
Oh my god! All right,
Chris,
well,
we're off the rails.
Welcome everybody to a very special episode of the Creepshow Hour. We are back again. It's been a while, as you can tell from that amazing intro that we just pulled off there. But Shudder decided to release another special, a little animated special, so we thought it'd be a great time to get back at it and talk about it, because it seems like it might be a while before season two comes out anyways. And yeah. To do this, we got a few special guests along the way, didn't we, Ian?
Sure did.
Okay, so first up, superstar, writer, actor, stuntman. I'm not sure he does it all.
Yeah, I mean, we had a previous guest who's friends with him who said he dates Angelina Jolie.
I'm friends with Billy Clayton Cogg.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes
famous
sense.
Director, yeah. Clayton Cogswell.
Famous director? No, but we have Derek Haugen.
Thanks
did
for
I say
having
that right?
Me.
I said that right, right? Haugen. I nailed it. But Derek, everybody should check out your movie. I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. It's a great time. It's on Tubi. It's on Amazon Prime. It's Halloween time. No better time to check out a little vampire movie, right?
I agree. I think we accidentally made a fun little Halloween movie. We didn't do it on purpose, but it does seem to get a lot more views on Halloween for some reason. So.
It's on both Tubi and Amazon right now.
Yep.
I know, because I've watched it on both this month.
Sorry about that. It's that short title, I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. super easy to remember. I'm sure if you typed in House Harker, you'll find it somewhere.
Eagle-eyed viewers of Bad Movie Night content perhaps may remember that there was a House Harker Easter egg in our short film Work Sucks last year.
Ian, nobody watched that.
I know, but like I said, Eagle Eye, Paul saw it, I swear.
Well, he's just trying to get more people to watch it. So in the link right below, you can watch Work Sucks. And
Chris will not remember to do that.
No, I'm definitely not going to do that. But we have another very special guest with us tonight, a previous guest on the Creepshow podcast. We have author extraordinaire, Mr. J.D. Buffington himself.
That's me. I am here again. Against my will.
Has multiple books with many words. I've read one of them. It was delightful. The House of In Between and The Light Across the Street. Did I say that one right? The House
yes.
of In... Okay. Wow.
The Light Across the Street.
Wow. I'm really proud of myself.
In the House of In Between.
I got all this stuff right. It's pretty good.
I think I like the
good
original
job, Chris.
Cover. I think I like the original cover for In the House of In Between a little better.
Well, I appreciate that, but this one was self-published, and that's
fair
actually
enough.
Artwork from my cousin.
Oh, nice. Your cousin's awesome. I totally love that one.
Wow.
Better.
That's fine.
And last up, we have everybody's favorite person
oh, yeah.
movie night. Ian Anderson, how's it going?
It's fine. All the people who hate me have already turned this off, so you don't even need to introduce me.
No, don't beat yourself up here, Ian.
Ian's the adorable one, right?
That's, sure.
Oh, you're thinking of Aaron.
Aaron.
Yes, Aaron's the adorable one.
Wow. I'm excited to have everybody here. Thanks for joining us. But we have a lot to talk about because there is quite a bit here involved in this whole animated special. I checked it all out today. I don't know about you guys. It just released on Thursday.
Yep.
We're recording this on the 30th, Friday, so it should be out tomorrow, though. But
well,
Ian,
today in your timeline, listeners.
Oh, yeah. Yes. What is what's the first story, Survivor's Type, about?
Survivor Type, it is basically a guy gets stranded on an island in the middle of the ocean and has to resort to extreme measures to stay alive. Will he have what it takes to do so? Will hijinks ensue? What will happen? You'll have to watch to find out. Or listen to our pod, either one. Because we are going to spoil the shit out of this. So
yeah.
You were intending to watch the Creepshow animated special. You should do that before continuing with our little ep here.
So we should say both of these stories are one. The first one's based on the Stephen King story. I believe it goes by the same name. And it's from the anthology book Skeleton Crew. Has anybody read that?
I have, but like 25 years ago, right. I think.
Okay.
So I don't remember this story specifically.
Yeah. I think I have that book in my attic somewhere. But the second story is Stephen King's son, Joe Hill, and that is Twittering from the Circus of the Dead. So we'll get to that later, though. But let's get started here, guys. Derek, what did you think of Survivor Type?
I watched it last night. And it moved really, really quick. Like, it was kind of nonstop. I really wanted to watch it again, just that episode again, but I didn't have any time to do it. But yeah, I think I liked the animation. First off, I thought it was beautifully done. The whoever did the animation, they definitely know what they're doing over there. It was like almost half stop motion in some parts,
yeah.
And then things would move and stuff. It was very cool on how they did it. I didn't the character itself, like he wasn't really likable to me. So it was like I was thinking like I think I would have made it to the first bite of my flesh, and then I'd be out. I don't think I would have lasted as long as he did. And I don't feel like they gave enough motivation on why he wanted to survive, just because he had these amazing surgeon hands, which he never really took advantage of because he became some drug dealer. It's kind of happened at accident. Just kept going and going and going to the point where it got out of control. It seemed like
you couldn't stand the shock trauma.
He wanted to be a doctor again, and he had that chance, I think.
Yeah.
Then they busted him on, right? And so if he did this one thing, though, he would have been a surgeon again, right? Is that how I interpreted everything? Like I said, I thought it was going to move really quick.
I didn't take it that way.
Sutherland's.
I didn't take it that way either, that he was going to get like his doctoring career back.
Yeah, because somebody rolled on him, okay. And he turned around and rolled on some higher ups to get out of that. I just thought that he didn't know how to give up the extra sugar, as he called it.
Stop. Okay. Yeah, like I said, it moved really quick for me, and I wanted to rewatch it, but okay, that makes more sense.
But you're not committed enough, apparently.
I'm not. I overall, I thought it was okay. I thought the story was okay. I didn't feel that I wasn't rooting for him. He didn't seem a very likable character. And he definitely got a rough start, I guess, with his everything. I thought the animation was amazing. I wish I would have known why he wanted to keep doing that to himself. You know what I mean? Like, it just didn't seem like there was, I mean, I'm married and I have kids, and I don't think I would have lasted.
You'd have put yourself out of your misery on the first day. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I would have enjoyed the island for a while.
A little peace and quiet. This is great.
Yeah. I like where I am.
How far would you have gotten?
I got a lot of meat on my bones. I think like a good leg will last a really long time. I think this guy was eating his stuff way too fast.
You think you could eat one leg at least?
I mean, if I'm doing that much cocaine, maybe. I mean, that was definitely like a part of the storyline. Yeah, the guy was like coked out of his mind at some point, I think.
I think that's one of my questions about the story. Didn't he say it was heroin?
Oh, heroin.
I thought he said it was heroin. Do you snort heroin? Like, I thought that was a needle drug.
I think you can die.
JD, you know the answer to this. What's up?
Isn't that what happened in Pulp Fiction?
We'll go back to our drug.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we can get into some more of those details then. But JD, what did you think? What were your initial thoughts?
I mean, I hate to,
oh god,
he's gonna jump out the gate and be like, oh, I'm the contrarian, but I was not impressed with the animation. It was a motion comic.
Yeah,
and yeah. I was like, oh, an animated special, but I got a, you know, circa 2000s Flash comic, and there was some nice trick to it that I especially whenever he would start chewing on its own flesh and his mouth would it was very awkward. But you know, I wrote some things down, like, did he sell a girl's kidney? Was that what was suggested in that scene where it showed the girl in front of him with the scar across her belly?
Oh,
I don't know. Oh,
This guy was bad from the start.
Are you talking about a flashback to like his college days?
Yeah, it was a flashback. Yeah, huh. To his college days. And there's a girl standing there like pulling her blouse down, but there's a stitch across her side.
You're right.
He's counting money.
I thought at first it was like the way he was talking was like he was a pimp now or something. But I think that makes more sense that he was doing like illegal surgical work for her.
Right.
Or maybe that's how she was smuggling drugs.
Or yeah, she could have been a mule. Also, was Kiefer Sutherland method acting this entire time? Was this just him bored in quarantine and he gave
Kiefer
them the
Sutherland
recording?
Also does a lot of cocaine. So.
But I mean, the premise of having the dead body there, and you know, do I eat the dead body or do I eat my own dead flesh? I don't know what I would do there. I really don't. But then it took me out whenever he cut off his own foot with a pocket knife, and then his own femur with a pocket knife.
Yeah,
I was like, no, that's not happening. And there it took me right out.
There's some elements of the story that are a little impractical for sure.
There was very like. It pulled me out, but at the same time, like at the very end, I just he just eats himself to death, and that felt creep show. That felt like the ending of one of the old school one or two episode or the movies. Sorry, and then what I kind of wanted to see was that it would pull out, and he was only like a little tiny island a mile away from like a resort.
Yeah. Yeah, some little twist at the end. Yeah,
yeah, just some awful twist to cap off his deserved death.
I do think it was like one step missing from the end. Like, even if it's just like the rescuers found him and he's like literally sitting there munching on his fingers, and like just in shock at what they're witnessing. You know? And that would have been a great capper to this.
I mean, I think the whole ending with him eating his fingers is supposed to be the whole like cap to the story, because he was kept saying how he needs his hands because he's a surgeon. In the end, he bites his hands, the hands that feed him. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. is all
yeah,
he ever wanted to be was a surgeon.
He talks about prosthetics. He talks about prosthetics quite a bit, saying that they can do all kinds of stuff. He can replace his legs, but he can't replace his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's always wanted to be a surgeon. Yeah.
Right, that certainly represents the step too far.
But that was
the descent into madness has been completed.
Right.
And that's where it kind of lost me a little bit. Like, they kept making the hand such a big deal, and mm-hmm. then he did it. Okay. Like, why does he want to live at that point? You know, if he can't use his hands, you know?
I think what's
making him, they didn't show us or tell us why he wanted to keep living, you know, cause he did eat the one thing that he loved the most.
He took
care of his hands.
I think he did intend to return to doctoring when he was off the island. And I think the one thing that the story I didn't think fully captured because of the way the animation was, I think Kiefer Sutherland's performance captured a descent into madness that the visuals I don't think fully captured. I would say the dichotomy for this story here is that I'm with JD a little bit. I didn't love the style of animation. Now I realize this was a, you know, something they could do to get something out during quarantine.
Right.
It goes a long way to explain why we got what we got. I think it's a cool idea.
No,
make for really cool, like phone app type storytelling technique. But for Creepshow, I would have preferred a stronger animation style. I think it was a good choice of story to do animated because it'd be pretty tough to do practical. But ultimately, the story did really affect me at times. There's times where I was just like, "Oh, ah, gross!" Like it.
Yeah, it was good.
If it was really bad, I wouldn't have. It wouldn't have affected me, but it definitely affected me.
Did you all notice the cameos of Stephen King?
Oh yeah, Stephen King and Joe Hill.
And Joe Hill.
Yeah.
Was it both of them?
That was cool.
Yeah, both of them were in there.
Because I saw the one and I wasn't sure which one it was supposed to be. I know they bear a strong resemblance.
I think Stephen King was in the first story, his story. And Joe
Stephen
Hill,
King was in a flashback scene where he was hanging out with some old college dude.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, Joe Hill is the one who's like harassing the girl on the stilts.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
So I saw Nick Otero was the guy selling the tickets outside.
Oh, was he? I didn't notice that. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So when I started this, I was expecting actual animation. I was like, Creepshow 2, like the wraparound of Creepshow 2 is all animated. Yeah. That's like whatever, late 80s or mid 80s. So the animation was a bit different back then. But I was expecting something like that. And so, yeah, at first I was like, oh boy, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this, guys. But the story was interesting enough that it brought me in. And I the animation's not good because it is kind of that whatever, that motion graphics, but the artwork was really good.
Yeah.
So
it definitely evoked the sense that it was trying to.
Yeah. And like, not just like good drawing, but like good framing and stuff like that. Like they told the story really well. This would be cool as just like maybe make it into a comic book version as well. Like, it was all well done enough. And I liked the story for the most part.
It felt like it was a comic book, you know, that's why I liked it. I think it was kind of the style that they were going for. From the actual creep shows, they had like comics back then, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they're derived from. This story, and so does the second one, but we'll get to that. But this, I mean, specifically, this would be almost, I don't know how you would tell this in video because like everything is narrated and it's all internal thoughts and you could do these visuals, but it would just be like this disgusting torture porny kind of thing the whole time. And it would take away from like the like mental descent that I think is what is more important about the story is like,
You're on a ride with him down to Madness.
Right. So the thing of it is, and I'm kind of with Derek where I got, cause they kept reinforcing it. Like it opens with them talking about like shock trauma. Like what would you do to survive? And we get that. And he keeps saying how he needs his hands cause he wants to be a surgeon. But then they keep telling the story where they're flashing back and he's like, oh, and then I became a surgeon, but then I got caught. And it was like, wait, this is the real story, right? Because you were talking about how everything is important about you becoming a surgeon. But now we're like after all that, and now you're just on this island and you want to survive, but I'm not sure why. You bat your hands because you can no longer be a surgeon anyways. So it's just like, I don't know.
I don't think he ever stopped being a doctor. He just went on a 3-week vacation sabbatical.
Oh, okay. I missed that then. Because I remember he ratted out his friends or whatever, but.
Yeah, he was dealing drugs and everything and ratted out his friends. But then he lost his license, I think, if I've got this in my head right. And he was going to start doing black market surgery just to make money. And that's why he needed his hands so much is because he was still going to do surgery even if he didn't have a license.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me, but like some of the way this was told, and it was told not in chronological order. And because it was like, you just got specific images. So like when it opened and his foot was all fucked up and then later he breaks his foot, but then we didn't, like it was out of order sometimes. So I was a little confused when we would jump back into it.
I think they wanted to do, they did that specifically to like kind of sell the decaying mental state.
Yeah,
sure.
To a degree.
I agree with that. I think it was a jumping around like, okay, you've seen a portion of the horror. Here's how that horror happened. Oh, it gets worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this one. And I think it, like I said, that's all right. I think it is a good choice to do a story like this for this animation thing.
Yeah.
And especially a motion graphic version, because I'm like the second story, both of these ones have like very little character dialogue and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that would work. If
I think a more personal internal narrative works better when you're doing this motion graphic style.
Right. That's
like the one thing that threw me off at the one point when homeboy sees the plane go by and he jumps up to try and like, hey, it's me. But like his mouth isn't moving. That was like where it didn't work as well for me.
Didn't work for you.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the dead lady next to him to like start talking to him or something, because I think that would have been a good way to show his madness.
Yeah.
Or like the seagulls like turning and mocking him.
Yeah, her ghost came to him in a
ghost.
Dream.
Yeah,
But
I meant like her like dead body. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Right. Having her as like a voice saying, you know, you don't deserve to survive or whatever. Some antagonist like to keep him going.
She would be his Wilson. You mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I was about to say, would this seem too much like a Castaway ripoff if you did that, though?
Yeah.
I mean, no, because this was written back in the 80s, at least Skeleton Crew was, and I don't think Castaway was. So, if anything.
Nope. Yeah.
Robinson.
Wilson. How was that?
So, anything else with Survivor type you guys want to talk about? I didn't even know it was Kiefer Sutherland until after the fact.
Same.
But I'm not a Sutherland fanboy over here like JD is. So
I recently played MGS5. I'm sorry.
Is that the Phantom Pain?
Yes.
So fitting for this.
I guess so. The only other thing that bothered me about this story though is that wouldn't the recovery from like this type of surgery require more food and water than you got from?
There's no way he would pull through it. And,
No.
I'm willing to suspend that to enjoy a good story. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But
he couldn't cut off his entire, you know, hip joint or whatever and still survive.
Yeah. I mean, even assuming he could survive, like the amount of food and water you need just to recover from it outweighs what you get from it, I would think.
Ian.
Yep.
How far would you get? A bite of the foot? Would you get the whole foot? The leg? Well, how far would you get? I asked Chris that question earlier. Yeah. Like, would you be able? How far?
But he said, "How?" JD's concern was how could he get off? How could he do that with a pocket knife? And I would trust that a doctor could get it off at the ankle, because if you didn't know where the right ligaments and tendons are, not through the femur.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't know how to hit those. I couldn't even get the foot off. I would pass out from the pain and blood loss.
You have to hit it with a rock.
Yeah, I would pass out from the pain and the blood loss before I'd even have an opportunity to bite that foot.
I think you just start carving at your ass or something, because there's a lot of meat back there. You could make some nice fillets.
Not as much as you used to be. Back when I used to play hockey, I had a nice big hockey player's ass.
Yeah, I always thought that about you, Ian.
That's been gone a few years now.
I really loved your hockey player ass.
Yeah, it's been gone a few years now. It's RIP Ian's hockey player ass.
Me and my wife talk about it quite often.
I'm sure y'all do.
Jeez Louise. What you do is you carve at the back of your calf. That way you can make bacon and get some red meat.
Sure.
I mean,
good tip.
That would remain an open wound in a way that'd be harder to.
You throw a little sand on there.
Just some sand on it.
I thought dirt in it. At one point, he talks about like getting supplies from the life raft or whatever. Like, wouldn't it you just like go back on the life raft?
Well, see, I think that was an inconsistency between what was written and what ended up getting animated, because he did say life raft, but they do show him in the water off the cruise just clinging to a chunk of boat.
Yeah.
Like, I think
he's on a chunk of boat, and then the dead body washed up like 2 days later, and there was life raft had some medical supplies, which is how he kept giving himself, you know, painkillers until he had to start dipping into the heroin. So he had medical supplies, but I don't know that there were rations or anything. That's why he started to have to eat in the seagulls.
Yeah.
The real important question here is, if you were in this situation, Chris, and all you had were a couple of jugs of milk, would you drink it?
I'll just wait a few days till it curdles up and a nice cottage cheese, I guess.
Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, seriously.
That would actually be my way to commit suicide, unfortunately, because I do have an intolerance. So that would just be death by shit. Uh-huh. So,
well, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about the second one, which is the twittering of the circus dead. Ian, what's that one about?
Very good.
So this one is about a family on a road trip They're stopping a few places. They get off track. They decide to go check out this roadside attraction, the Circus of the Dead. And they're expecting a bit of a creepy circus show, and they get that and then some.
Okay. Derek, what'd you think?
I really like this one. I almost would want to see a live action of this one. I don't know how they would do it. It'd be really difficult. But I think they've done a lot of stuff now with technology, with a lot of movies where they're telling the story through the text and stuff. And I think you could do that with this and have the live action visuals of the zombies and stuff. I would really like to see that.
That'd be expansive.
Well, that too. Cirque du Soleil and the people who do The Walking Dead to make a circus. Yeah.
If only anybody at the Creep Show knew somebody at The Walking Dead.
If only, right?
That'll be on the next season.
I really liked it. I thought it had a cool, it was a cool little story, and I liked how it ended, and it was great. Do we want to go into spoilers, or
saying, you can spoil whatever you want. Yeah.
I liked how she was just this teenager know-it-all, and then at the end she's confessing her love for her mother and how she didn't mean anything, and I think that's a true, very true for a teenager. We think we know everything as a teenager, and then we realize that we don't know shit, and we actually do love our mom and dad. at least I did.
And then you die.
But I really. And then you die. And then you fucking die. and then also, I like the commentary of just social media. It's like why didn't she? She could have just put it down, but I believe that she would have just kept tweeting. She could have called the cops at any moment because it was going through. She had a signal.
Oh, these Zoomers don't know how to call on their phones.
I believe that she would have just kept tweeting because that was more important to her. So I kind of like that aspect of it. I really like this one.
I think it also speaks to the viewers watching it and being so numb to what you see on social media to not really take it seriously either. She's talking about all this horrible stuff. So
It's like a show.
It had a very creepy pasta kind of vibe.
Right.
The ending was very creep show at the end, end where the zombie I guess he wasn't a zombie because
caretaker
zombie skin. Yeah, caretaker. He did all that. That was awesome. That was definitely a cool creep show ending for sure.
JD, what'd you think?
I got the emotional resonance real strong on this as well. Whenever she's complaining about her mom telling her that she's only getting human contact through the internet, I was like, "Yuck, I'm seen. What the hell?" And they did stop at a diner, and she dared her little brother to wear her leggings and a skirt, and the family went along with it. And I was like, "Wow, that's kind of progressive. This family that all cares about being silly together." And I was like, okay, this actually feels like a family. And
Dad didn't seem too happy. but he went with it though.
Yeah.
He
went along with it. And it felt like everyone was in on the joke. And that made me feel a connection to the family. So that when shit went down, I was like, okay, I feel for these characters. I am scared for them.
Yeah.
So I did like that.
My dad supports my skirt wearing. So,
kilt wearing. Kilt.
Kilt is just a pleated skirt.
Also, and I don't know how far ahead you want to jump, but especially if they did do a live action and you pulled back and revealed that the crowd was just corpses.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it would definitely be expensive. I can see why they did it. Animation. It's definitely expensive.
It was clear to me why they picked both of these to do animated as opposed to saving them for season two.
Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, this one I could see if you tweaked it and told it a little bit differently that it could work in a standard format though. It would be less of that internal narration, but you could still get a whole bunch of that tweeting stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
So Ian, what do you think?
The tweeting was the perfect excuse for it to be a largely you know, overdubbed kind of conversation, her reading her tweets out loud rather than have dialogue, which would have taken you out of it a little bit more, I think. Right. So I thought it was a good device given the method of storytelling here. Overall, I liked it quite a bit. I thought it felt quite a bit like a creepypasta. Like I could totally see people following this along on the internet as it's happening. Like, wait, is this real? No, this has got to be a hoax. Somebody's writing this. Is it real? Holy shit, it must be real.
She even acknowledges that her followers doubled.
Yeah. From 40 to 80.
I mean, like every aspect of this is some sort of commentary on like social media or just technology usage, right? Like you have the zombies, it's a circus. You have everybody watching. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I didn't read too far into any commentary on social media. I just thought it was a device to tell the story. And then, insofar as the mother expressed an opinion, I felt like that was the mother's opinion in a way to contrast to her, not necessarily as a way to like be the piece's opinion, you know?
Yeah, okay, but I mean, you have this teen who's addicted to her phone, and by the end, she's a lifeless zombie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, is that what we're saying about teens addicted to their phone?
The implication of the final tweet certainly seemed to suggest she was going to be the new ringmistress.
Sure.
So she apparently was not a zombie. I got the impression, too, at first that she was getting killed and eaten.
Right.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. But then whenever it said that she was the new mistress, I was like, okay, so the ringmaster... Must have
grabbed her.
Yeah. But for how long, though?
He's the one who's doing those final tweets that go very commercial. But so I think that does go to your commentary of like, you know, this is a commentary on social media and how corporations are taking over our lives.
What I did like about that very final thing is that almost recontextualized the whole thing for me. Like, what if from the jump, this was always just a marketing stunt for some spooky clown, you know, dead circus thing, and they're like, let's do a viral marketing campaign. This is going to be like the Blair Witch Project. We're going to put out this thing.
Right.
We're going to
go crazy. That's how the Blair Witch Project
and
was.
Like, so none of the story actually happened. It was just kind of backfilling and like animating the tweet chain.
Until 10 years later and the circus is found and there's dead bodies and oh my God, it was all real.
I mean, that is the thing. Like we briefly touched on the first one, but like there's no way this is plausible because
of
like
course.
So like even taking aside like
zombies are real but we have control of them.
But I mean like if you want to say they're in a world where there's zombies then it makes way more sense, but it doesn't. But even on top of that it's like all these people are just all of a sudden missing, which they kind of touch on because they're like 1200 people are go missing every year traveling or something.
Was it the episode that we watched that I talked to you guys about that had the people's heads coming up through the bowling pins?
No, you were not on that episode.
I was not on that one. Okay,
I just listened to the episodes today.
Okay. That episode, though, could be in the same universe as this, though, because they're gamifying zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that premise took place in a world where zombies existed and everyone was aware. This was the opposite. But, I mean... The concept is fun though, like I liked it, and it was I guess it wouldn't work because if everyone knew there were zombies, it wouldn't be a surprise. She thought it was all an act.
Yeah,
right.
So I will say, like, I don't know, the first 5 minutes when they're in the car and she's going off and she just sounds like a teen who's nonstop talking about things. I was like, I don't know, like I got enough of this in my real life.
Like clearly this had to be going somewhere more than that though.
Yes, and it's narrated by Joey King, which is the actress from the 2018 best movie of all time, Wish Upon. Has anybody ever seen this movie?
No.
It is something special. Ryan Phillippe's in it. He's a dumpster diving dad. I highly recommend everyone check it out. Wow. It's a really, really good movie.
Does anyone know, or did they look up if she's any relation to Stephen?
What, Stephen King?
I wondered if she was his daughter or something.
Granddaughter?
Granddaughter, yeah.
Yeah,
Hill's daughter.
I looked her up on IMDb, but it didn't say, so I figured it would if they were related.
And we're doing her an incredible disservice. She did a good job. I liked
her. Yeah, she was great. Yeah. She was great. I was just curious.
I mean, it is a hard ask, right? Like to completely carry the story and like all like the, it's not necessarily like the speed of the what am I looking for? The
pacing,
but it's like
cadence.
Yeah. There's like a lot of dynamics that she keeps the pace fast with her dialogue, but it all goes along with the visuals pretty well. So it's like really edited nicely and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It seems very seamless when you watch it, but when you break these kind of ideas down, it's gotta be, you know, difficult. There's There's lots of transition moments in this one as well that I was like, wow, that's kind of really cinematic. And I don't know. It just seems difficult to, I mean, I guess not. If you're going to make a movie, you're probably making like an animatic or something like this anyways. So
I wonder if they did
this level, but
I wonder if they did try to redo this. So I wonder if they did try to redo this live action, if the pacing would work out as well, you know? When you got the animatics, it kind of gives you the perfect excuse to make each shot as long or as short as you need it to be, as opposed to how long it says to take the dialogue or how long it takes to wheel out the guy on the board, handcuffed to the board.
Yeah, I mean, if you were making a movie version, you'd probably see her be like, oh my God, they're going to do blah, 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 and then it would cut and it would show you what they're going to do. But this, she had to kind of explain it the whole time as well because of the nature of the animation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think something just blew up down upstairs.
Cool.
You guys hear that? Anyways.
No.
Blew up down upstairs?
So
look, this one was a house.
Was it Ian's hockey
ass?
I am not in his upstairs. I'm not trapped in his attic anymore.
I like to think you are anymore.
So this was a fun story to watch because I actually just read a very similar story like a month ago. It was actually in a horror compilation called Knights of the Living Dead, which was set in the world of, Night of the Living Dead, taking place simultaneous, just, you know, different places around the country.
Is it Romero, though?
Or is it Romero wrote one of the stories. It's like 16 or 17 different authors, a lot of whom you'd know. Like Mike Carey, who did The Girl with All the Gifts, did a story. I think Jonathan Mayberry, who's done a lot of zombie fiction, did the he was the editor. But in particular, Neil and Brendan Schusterman wrote a story in there called Deadliner.
And what was this called again?
Knights of the Living Dead.
Knights of the Living Heist.
Yeah. And it also dealt with circus full of zombies. That was a very different angle. It was like the zombie apocalypse has happened. This guy who is basically just a low-level circus character decides, oh, here's my shot to make it big. And he rounds up a bunch of these zombies. And as the world starts to return to something resembling normal, he's putting on shows with zombies in them. And very different kind of story. But it's funny to see it have such a similar setting, too.
So you hate clowns, though. Would you watch a clown zombie movie?
In this context, yes.
20 of them?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it would have to make sense. If it's just like a normal zombie movie that otherwise has too many clowns, that would be like, I don't know, this feels dumb. But
too many clowns? There's a thing?
If you just walk out into the neighborhood in the Dawn of the Dead remake, she like runs out of her house in the morning after the little girl neighbor attacks her, and there's just a bunch of clowns about. Like, that makes no fucking sense. Why are all these clowns about? Like, there's like one clown around because there's
what
a guy
if there's
who
a gathering
that lives
of the
in the neighborhood.
Oh,
that's
know.
Different. Juggalo movie I'd be way more into.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man.
I'll watch the zombie Juggalo movie. Don't threaten me with a good time, Christopher.
Zuggalo? Juggalo zombie?
Juglombie.
Zuggalombie.
So that book sounds pretty cool though. I'm gonna have to check that out.
Yeah, it's good. That's a lot of good narrators if you do the audio version as well.
Nice.
I did like the way this one wrapped around involving the creeper and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was really cool. And we did say there is the little Joe Hill graphic where he's kind of pointing at the lady on the stilts at one point. Mm-hmm. That was really noticeable.
He's also the one that gets the shoe to his face.
Yeah. So, what'd you guys think of the creeper intro, like the live action creeper intro?
I wanted to know, is that his day job? Because he walked in there and flipped on that light table and got to fucking work.
No.
Yeah.
It was a passion because if it's your job, you don't get right to work. You're like,
yeah.
You gotta make the coffee first. Yeah. You gotta check Facebook.
Is that the first time we saw the creep walk? I can't remember seeing him walk.
The one where he walked into the house to carve the pumpkin, but he murdered the family that was inside. Yeah, I think he walked in that one.
But sometimes did he walk different? Like, I feel like the walk was.
He's like,
I don't know why. The walk. Walk bothered.
It feels like it's different every single time they put on an episode, because sometimes he's animated, sometimes he's a puppet, sometimes he has an actor inside him. It's kind of all over the place, which I'm not necessarily mad about.
His quality wavers, I'll say that. Even within this like little 2 minute thing he's in, like, and his facial animation's always limited, but
I always love seeing him, though. It's always awesome.
Oh yeah, me too. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I did stop and pause and screenshot because they give a little hint. I think it says like coming up on the next, it's like they show the comic book and it has like three different panels of upcoming stuff. So I let me add that and we can take a look at that.
I actually wrote all those down myself.
Bam.
Oh, okay. Nice. What do we got? Wow. So, that would be cool if that's like
Is that a zombie or some kind of like spider creature in the cage with him?
It looks like a sister. It's a little girl, right?
It's a little girl, but he's in the jail cell with her, and that cop is on the outside looking in smugly.
Yeah.
The most fun you'll ever have being scared.
I wonder if anyone on the internet has any clues, or they think it's something that's already been written.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather not know.
At first, I thought like, oh, is this... Just because the stairs and stuff, I thought it was harkening back to the one where like the crate or whatever. Obviously, this is way different though. I don't know.
Well, speaking of the crate, that's what I actually thought of with the third one. There is that Santa Claus versus the crate monster.
Gotcha. Oh. Do you think they'll make a Christmas special?
I would love it if they did.
If they were going to put something out soon, they might, you know?
It looks pretty Santa Claus there.
Yeah, it's definitely Santa Claus.
That would be cool.
I wonder if
Abominable Snowman.
Yeah. Yeti versus Santa.
I wonder if they'll kick off season two like the week of Christmas, or if they'll just do an animated Christmas special and do season two later.
I'm pretty sure season two is definitely coming in 2021, at least from most of the stuff I saw.
That's what I heard as well. But
yeah.
Guys,
if you want me to come back and we do a podcast on Fat Man, I'd be happy to do that.
On what?
We're definitely not having you back there.
Start. Oh fuck! Damn
that is very presumptuous of you.
It's just goddamn it.
The only reason we asked you on is because we couldn't get Clayton.
Oh,
that's so mean. You asked Clayton's friend. well, if you have it, Clayton maybe can do the Fat Man podcast, which is a crazy trailer. If you haven't seen it,
now I'll have to look it up.
I haven't seen it.
Mel Gibson plays Santa Claus.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That does look pretty crazy.
It's bonkers. I thought it was an SNL skit. I'm like, no, this is fucking real.
I saw a trailer today. Go ahead.
No, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I saw a trailer today for that new Nicolas Cage movie where he fights like robot. It was like a Five Nights at Freddy's thing, but with Nicolas Cage. Do you guys see this?
Yes, please. No.
Yeah, it looks pretty crazy. Can't. But this middle one with the mummy versus a swamp monster thing. Yeah,
that looks awesome.
We'll see.
I don't know if that would be real, though. That seems like way too, you know.
I mean, I did see
Universal
the silver,
monsters.
Like, yeah.
In season one, they often finish the episode with screenshots of comics for the episodes the following week.
Right.
So, we'll see. I don't know.
I mean, that's a good way to film in COVID. Put both people in rubber suits.
Yeah,
there you go. I am hoping. I'm hoping the budget's a little more for season two. I don't know.
I think it might be. Apparently, the whole show was a smash success for Shudder. Like, huge. They ended up running the episodes on AMC like 6 months later, and like,
wow,
it's been a runaway hit for them in a way that I never.
Six episodes though. Again, you would think they would be doing more.
I don't know either.
Hey.
But maybe that's
the
all.
UK puts out quality content in just three or six episodes a season, and they save a lot of money by making these really good episodes.
Yeah, but remember, we're not about that. We're about money.
Remember, they've got to be able to do these on Greg Nicotero's lunch breaks at The Walking Dead.
Now there's like 14 different Walking Dead shows, so he's probably really busy. Yeah. Yeah, no, this was... Overall, I had positive feelings about this one. I thought both of the stories were pretty interesting. And most of the, unfortunately, like most of season one, I think it was like a decent story and a bad story.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And this was like, both the stories were consistently good for me.
Yeah.
And I got over the animation style. So.
Yeah. And it's not like people don't put work into motion comics. It's just,
No, it's just, it's not like, the same.
Told me animated special and gave me this. It's like, if you told me, here's a candy bar, but you hand me a Butterfinger.
Oh, you get the, God damn it, we're doing this again.
We're doing it right now. Let's do it. Let's bring it up.
Fifth Avenue's are a little better anyway.
I just got excited.
All right. Anything else, guys, with the Creepshow animated special? Any other last thoughts?
Not specifically related to the animated special. I did want to point out, though, that we've been a bit delinquent in something, Chris. I was re-listening to our Creepshow Hour Season 1 episodes today, and we made two promises about upcoming episodes. One of them was to do Baby the Lost Dinosaur of Time with Lindsay.
We did.
Which we did. But we also talked about doing a bonus ep with JD about 90s space horror.
Event Horizon?
Event Horizon. We never did that.
Okay, we can do that.
The 4K is streaming on Amazon, but the disc, which is supposed to have all the deleted scenes that they've been searching for, is on delay. There's like no release date for it yet.
It's because they can't find those scenes, JD.
I know, and that's where I want to go to get them.
Those scenes were lost in a fire, I heard.
I wish there's only one scene in that movie that I wish was lost in a fire.
Something like that.
Yeah. Well, where we're going, JD, you won't need those scenes.
Fantastic.
No, yeah, I'd definitely do that whenever you want. I love that movie. I'll watch it anytime. Yeah. I'll watch it fucking right now. All right.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. So, Derek, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Lovely.
It's about damn time.
Everybody should go check out I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker. We really enjoyed that movie. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we await the sequel with bated breath.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. If we got the money, we definitely would. It's when you're dealing with werewolves, you want to do it right. Especially the way we were doing it. I think we should do it like Teen Wolf, you know? Just have a bunch of
moody
werewolves. Yeah, moody werewolves, you know, with just a bunch of hair.
Do it. Yeah, the whole gang at Bad Movie Night can come play werewolf. Yeah. Already hairy.
Can the dad werewolf be there too?
I watched a
really low budget movie called A Werewolf in England, and I was semi impressed.
Yeah, I saw your review on that. I want to check that out.
And it was the director reached out to me. He's like, I think the werewolf suit was $2,000 or something.
Wow.
Which isn't that
bad. That's incredible.
No.
It doesn't animate at all, though, so it's like a dude. Yeah. Still look pretty cool from a distance.
I think Bad Moon is the best werewolf I've ever seen on
Bad Moon's cinematic world. Is amazing looking.
It's almost like I want to do like a mockumentary of actual werewolf. Like they hired an actual werewolf for that movie. And he's real because it was. I couldn't believe how good that fucking looked. I'm like, Jesus Christ!
Camera pans over and he's sitting in a chair. Yeah,
yeah,
smoking a cigarette. Yeah, it's just like... it's the amount of effort they put into the facial animation with like the practical
I can't believe how good it is. It's my favorite werewolf. It really is. I love it so well.
I just watched that movie not too long ago. And I was disappointed by everything but the werewolf. And I had such like fond memories of it.
Yeah, I saw your review and I watched that movie once a year and I totally agree with everything you said though. Yeah. It's you're totally right on.
That werewolf is fucking awesome looking. Yeah.
Badass.
So yeah, House Harker is a whole lot of fun.
Anyway, we went off. Yeah. Watch House Harker, please.
Yes, watch House Harker.
We gave you a platform to talk about it, and you went off about werewolf movies.
I know.
Okay, but in Derek's defense, he went off about werewolf movies. You went off about your hockey ass. So.
Yeah, it's true. And Butterfingers.
Now, House Harker, if anybody who watches Bad Movie Night hasn't watched it yet, it is totally a lot of fun.
Thanks, guys.
I enjoy it quite a bit. I rewatch it multiple times a year.
Awesome.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Yeah, we put a lot of work into it, and it was kind of a passion project, even though it was about vampires. And it was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And in case you're still not sold, imagine a chainsaw that has a bunch of stakes for killing vampires on it, so that you've got a chain stake or a...
I think you guys call it a steak saw. Steak saw, I think you...
Steak saw. It's pretty epic.
And yes, and it's, of course it would work, right?
Of course.
I've never really took apart a chainsaw, but I assume the science there makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then after you get done watching I Had a Bloody Good Time, you get out that, you crack open one of them old paperback books, and you read some words written by one JD over here.
That's me. I'm the author of the group. I have books that I sell on Amazon. Hey, look, it's the old cover. He's got
nice.
It.
Nice.
Hey.
This isn't the cover I was remembering. I withdraw
like
my
the original
paper.
Artwork, JD.
Oh?
This isn't the cover I was remembering. I was thinking of something else, I think. I think they both suck.
I don't know.
Wow.
No, I write words. And, yesterday, I just pitched a novelette that's a retelling of Medusa's origin tale and a little bit of Clash of the Titans. And it's a, if I dare say, a feminist retake on Medusa. And I'm trying to get an agent over that one. And that's what I'm working on right now. And but everything else that I've got out is available on Amazon. Just search for JD Buffington, and pretty easy to find.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us, JD.
I appreciate being here.
We will set up a time to do Event Horizon.
Absolutely.
It was nice meeting you. It was nice meeting you, JD.
Nice to meet you as well, Derek.
And Ian, anything you want to say before we go? No. Okay. Good. Nope, good parting thoughts there, Ian.
I think I got it all out there.
Yeah, you got it all out. All right, cool, guys. That's going to do it for the Creepshow Animated Special. We'll be back at some point with more Creepshow podcasts once season two gets out, unless there's maybe a Christmas special.
Chris's favorite actor is slated to be in season two.
Oh, the gremlin himself. C. Thomas. Can't wait to see that. Yeah, there's a lot of named actors in season two, it's looking like. Yeah. Nice. So we'll see what happens. But that's going to do it, guys. Thanks for watching and listening. We'll catch you here next time.